My Uncle Dave is an Ohio kid, born and raised in Portage County, Ohio. One day, he got the notion that Ohio winters were not for him, so he turned his sights to the south and moved towards the sun. These days, he's living in a subtropical climate in the southern United States, and is perfectly happy with his choice. He's been down there for many years. In addition to enjoying his current locale, he also likes to chide those of us northerners who have remained behind for our current choice of living arrangements, especially at this time of year when the Arctic vortex comes a-calling here in northern Ohio. I'm sure that there are many who question their choice of where to live this time of year. This month, we're going to discuss a person who also questioned where he was living and decided to move as well. However, unlike my Uncle Dave, he did not choose to move southward towards the sun. He actually chose to move northward towards the land of the midnight sun. Welcome to the Nordonia Hills Branch Library Podcast on Nonfiction. This month's topic, moving to Alaska. Ray Ordorica decided that he had had enough of where he was living, at that time in Denver, Colorado, and he wanted to get away from it all. He wanted a place where he could live, think, relax, read, and write. So he packed up his Toyota Land Cruiser, and he headed off overland to Alaska. His intention was to build a cabin where he could do all those things that he had just listed. He brought supplies and tools and equipment, taking everything he thought he would need, and in some cases he was correct. In other cases he was incorrect. Some of the stuff he brought was pretty much worthless, and some of the things he left behind he wished he had had many times over. He made it all the way to Alaska, found a cabin, fixed it up, and wound up living there. But instead of the 1 year that he had planned on for taking his retreat, he wound up spending over 3 years there. He learned a great many lessons about living in Alaska. And with the wealth of his experiences, he sat down and compiled them into a book. This book is called The Alaskan Retreater's Notebook, One Man's Journey into the Alaskan Wilderness. It is a nice mix of story, as well as how-to manual, as well as an appreciation of the natural wonders of Alaska and the lands that he was living in. The author discusses the work that it entailed in setting up his residence, getting his cabin prepared, and the amount of work that has to be done on a daily basis in order to live so close to the land, as it were. Things that you or I take for granted became crucial essentials that he would have to plan for and work to get. Things like fetching water. Things like cutting enough wood so that his stoves would be properly fueled to keep his cabin warm, especially during the long winters of Alaska. In the how-to manual part of this, he discusses the tools that you should have, the tools that he wished he had brought, as well as things like your stoves, your lights, and the things that you have to take care of, the things that you have to maintain in your cabin, where you're actually living. His cabin was a one-room arrangement, 12 by 16 feet. Not very much room at all. Over the course of the 3 winters that he lived there, he developed the experience and the knowledge to be able to tell certain things, such as the weather outside, even without having to leave his cabin. He knew what to look for and learned to read the signs about the outside weather. In one eye-opening passage, he discusses his informal temperature gauge that he noted on the inside of his cabin walls. Based on some advice from another person he knew living up there in Alaska, he learned to mark the gradations along his window frame that would correspond to the outside temperature based on where the frost was on the inside of his cabin. So there was one line for 30 below, there was another line for 40 below. The coldest night that he saw, the temperature reached actually around 70 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. By way of nature appreciation, the author discusses viewing the northern lights, the aurora borealis, as well as encounters with various wildlife, foxes, birds, and others. A cat that he took in that was a stray that had both of its ears frozen off. And the concept of the absolute silence that there is out there when the temperature drops below zero and every living thing is burrowing to try and find shelter just to survive. Taking a walk in the woods when it was 30 degrees below zero, the author would write, "It was absolute silence. Nothing was moving in that frozen air." He makes a point in his final chapter that the hardest part of leaving Alaska was not only leaving behind the natural wonders, but also the many companions he found among the animals there. He found it very difficult to leave that part of his adventure behind. Three other books we'll mention here in passing if you're interested in reading about living in Alaska or living in the Arctic lifestyle, as it were. One of them is Call of the American Wild, A Tenderfoot's Escape to Alaska by Guy Grieve. This book describes experiences in living in Alaska some years after Mr. Ordorica's adventures there. Mr. Grieve adds some other how-tos for your living arrangements. One thing he points out is if your roof is not insulated, the snow, which would help keep the warmth in if your roof was insulated, instead melts out and forms gigantic icicles on either side of your cabin, because the warmth of the cabin is escaping through to melt the snow on the roof. Whereas the first book is illustrated with black and white photos, Mr. Grieve has the full color treatment in his photos. He has his share of adventures, as well as encounters with the local wildlife and other various animal companions that he meets along the way. The next book is In the Empire of Ice, Encounters in a Changing Landscape by Gretel Ehrlich. Whereas the first two books were two persons' adventures living in Alaska on their own, this third book is more of a dedicated study or survey of the indigenous Arctic peoples that Ms. Ehrlich took on, studying their oral histories and their various traditions, what she describes as ethnographic materials. A lot of the book is told through the voices of Alaskan villagers, Nunavut filmmakers, marine mammal hunters in Greenland, reindeer herders, and also members of the Inuit and Chukchi peoples. She also looks at the Arctic ecosystems, the wildlife, and the traditions of the Inuits and their persistence as nomadic hunters all these many, many years. A look at all these different features form the backbone of the book Empire of Ice. And our final book is called Among Grizzlies, Living with Wild Bears in Alaska by Timothy Treadwell. Mr. Treadwell spent 8 summers alone with wild grizzlies along a stretch of the Alaskan coastline. He's also someone from the south who looked northward, moving from Los Angeles to Alaska. This book is an immersive look at the society of the bears, who the author argues has some emotional depth and communication beyond what you might think, something that he states is unseen in many other creatures. He looks at the struggles of the bears for dominance, for food, and for their survival against poachers and environmental destruction, as well as the landscape itself. And while the author is studying grizzlies and relating the findings to the reader, he is also getting his life in order, for he is a former drug addict. By the time you reach the end of the book, you will conclude, as the author does, that the 8 summers he spent with the grizzlies were very productive, very well spent. So next time you think about how cold it is here in northern Ohio, think that there are some people, those hardy folk, those intrepid adventurers, those people who like the solitude and the silence, that are living in a place that is far more remote, far more difficult, and indeed far colder than where we are here in balmy northern Ohio. In fact, our first author actually grew up in Ohio before moving to Colorado. Join us next month on Nonfiction, when we'll continue our annual tradition of providing excerpts from my annual book talk to the Nordonia Hills Friends of the Library. Books that you may have missed for 2017. We'll serve up some of the highlights from that book talk here in February. Until then, we will see you at your Nordonia Hills Branch Library. Music by Love Deficiency, provided by Mevio's Music Alley. Music.mevio.com. Thank you for listening.